This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Like most car buyers, you want to get the most for your money. That's why more Mazda buyers choose Ramsey Mazda. Get impressive offers on a new Mazda CX-30 or a Mazda CX-5 starting at just $29,276. Over 1,000 new Mazda vehicles to choose from. Visit RamseyMazda.com. Get the most for your money at Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome to the Maggie and Perloff Show. Maggie's still on vacation, and Andrew Bogish will be sitting in the big chair, and I say big chair because we've already lost Bogues for the most part. There are certain chairs that you can't work in, right?
Is this why Maggie's not here to protest the working conditions of this place? This is, to pull the curtain back, we're like in a two-week battle over chairs.
Yes.
Like, friendships have been ended.
Uh-huh.
We have done physical pranks on people who have been kind of the leaders of the chair gate situation around mm-hmm. here. And this chair is the worst one on the floor.
What is the difference? It's just a chair, dude.
You want to sit in this one? You have a nice, pretty new one. This is why you can sit there and be all high and mighty. Well, I'm actually high and not mighty in this stupid chair that I can't get to sink. I feel like I'm 7 feet tall.
Oh, my God.
And it's uncomfortable.
I'm co-hosting
but back
with
to
a madman. By the way, you say that, you know, there is a theory out there.
Which is what?
Chairgate is being driven by one person who is particular about their chair.
It's not a theory. It is science,
yes.
And I am the lead researcher.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, this is a real thing.
Yeah, it's Bogishgate. Keep switching chairs around. I don't even really care. Listen,
no. I keep
chair,
putting them
dude.
Back after some other madman moves them around to satisfy his whims and only his whims.
Let's see,
the Steelers, please.
Yeah, I was going to say, talk about an organization that seems like they don't know what they're doing. Let's get into the Pittsburgh Steelers. So the Pittsburgh Steelers have been a big topic this offseason. They're waiting on Aaron Rodgers. they're waiting on Aaron Rodgers. We thought maybe Rodgers would announce his joining the team at Pat McAfee's live show this week. Didn't happen. Their first practice is April 21st. Mason Rudolph's number one on the QB depth chart. They're clearly in a position where they either sign Rodgers or draft a quarterback at 21. We don't know what's going to happen. And it sounds like the players on the team don't know what's going to happen. Now, Tom Pelissero, NFL Network, was sitting in for Rich Eisen, Infinity Sports Radio Network, and had some interesting comments on what the Steelers players are thinking right now.
I would fairly tell you TJ Watt probably is getting a little sick of waiting on the quarterback question as well. It's the Pittsburgh Steelers. Do you want to play here? Or do you not?
All right. So TJ Watt, by the way, who is unhappy with his contract, is clearly unhappy with the overall situation here, too. Do we have to go listen to another cut? Sorry. Let's hear
Cam Hayward, who then proceeded to try to walk that back several times, when he said, hey, you want to be a Pittsburgh Steeler or you don't? I don't need to make more of a pitch than that.
Yep.
That opinion, from everything I've been told, is not solely to Cam Hayward. There are other people, certainly in the organization, in the locker room, who are just going like, what are we doing? We're back for off-season workouts in, you know, 10 days. Mm-hmm. We're coming up on the draft. What is the plan?
All right, we're off the rails again. I blame we had the wrong cut because somebody's chair is the wrong height over there on the other side of the
You're
glass.
You're in the good chair. You should be able to have full understanding of the cuts.
It wasn't the wrong cut.
Manny, I thought you said it was the wrong cut.
No, okay.
So basically,
from the top in 3, 2, and 1. Let's twist chairs here.
Put yourself in a Steelers player's position. What do you want to happen at quarterback? To me, the Steelers last year totally screwed up the quarterback position. They had Justin Fields and Russell Wilson, both very cheap options, and I understood that, but it didn't seem like they had a long-term plan. So now Fields is gone to New York. Russell Wilson is gone to the other team in New York. It felt like they didn't know what they were doing last year. So why would I trust that they know what they're doing this year? I think they have no idea, and they're flying by the seat of their pants. They're waiting on Rodgers. They don't know what he's going to do, and they don't know what they're going to do with the draft. They don't know if Shedeur Sanders is going to be available. They don't know if Jackson Dart's going to be available. They don't know if Tyler Shuck is going to be there in the second round. They have no idea what they're doing right now. I have no reason to have confidence in them. So I get it if the players like, what's going on? I get it if the players don't know what cut to call for here in this particular scenario. I totally understand this. To me, it doesn't seem like they have a plan, and I don't trust them.
I understand not trusting them, and I don't really trust them from an offensive standpoint for years because we've gone through, you know, from Matt Canada to Arthur Smith begging for a change, and they give you Arthur Smith, who is not necessarily like a frontline modern-day thinker in terms of offense after all the bland non-scoring from Matt Canada and Mike Tomlin clinging to all of that. So their offensive instincts can definitely be called into question here, but if I had to guess from a distance on this uncomfortable perch that I'm on right now, they probably know Aaron Rodgers is coming.
Okay.
And that's why we're 10 days away from not Mason Rudolph being QB1 as the offseason program begins.
So the offseason program begins April 21st. The draft is later that week. Is Rodgers waiting to see the draft before he comes into the building?
I think Rodgers is waiting to be Rodgers. I just don't think it can be easy, which is you go down the road, and that's the problem with him in general. But like, just nothing can be simple. Nothing can be obvious. Nothing can be efficient. It could be he's waiting for Earth Day or any other random thing. I've got no idea. But it's just like you know he's coming. He just can't tell you the exact day.
If they do sign Aaron Rodgers, do they still draft a quarterback? Because I would say do it. Here's the problem. Aaron Rodgers, 41 now, might not like it, but come on, dude. What are you going to have Aaron Rodgers in the building, then nobody next year?
I mean,
or 2 years from now?
I would hope that they have the you-know-whats to say to Aaron Rodgers, like, listen, we love the idea of you being our QB in 2025. We think there's still a good player in there. We trust you. We believe in you. But at your age and still not far removed from an Achilles blowing up on you, like, you are not in a position to be insulted, offended, bothered by us picking a quarterback because you're not going to be here for 6, 7, 8 years. So they have to pick somebody at some point over those 4 days or 3 days.
Well, it's not that. I mean, nobody's going to care if you take a fifth-round quarterback. The question is, do they take someone at 21?
Do they even
trade up for Shedeur Sanders, say Shedeur falls past 9?
So for me, the line, and maybe that's what they're waiting for. Maybe they know that they've got Aaron. Like, is there another option for Aaron Rodgers right now? So
nope.
There is leverage for the Steelers to go, hey, we're going to see how this draft plays out. Because if the world presents itself that we can move up and get Shedeur, then we don't need Aaron Rodgers. But to me, that's the line. If it's not Shedeur, anybody after that doesn't preclude them from bringing Rodgers in for a year or two.
Yeah.
Because Jackson Dart and Shuck, those guys, they don't have to play. I don't care how old Shuck is. They don't have to play day one.
Do the Steelers have a duty to communicate to the public, to their fans, and it turns out to the players don't know what's going on either? Does Omar Khan, the GM, or Mike Tomlin, the coach, does he have to tell us what's going on? Is there any kind of issue, or is that irrelevant in the big picture? We have, 14 days till the draft. Does somebody in Pittsburgh have to say, hey, we have a plan here? Because if T.J. Watt and Cam Hayward are confused, what's an average Steeler fan supposed to think?
Yeah, I don't think they need to show their hand to us on the outside. And I want to say that they should give a couple of guys a heads up because, we're going to get to the Nuggets and Nikola Jokic and what he knew about the Michael Malone decision at some point this morning. And I believe wholeheartedly, if you've got Jokic or LeBron or just singular NBA star on your team, that dude should be part of these huge conversations. But on a 53-man football roster, you've got a couple of guys who deserve to have some inside info. So maybe you hesitate to put it so far out there where you can have leaks and whispers, whatever. But so maybe TJ Watt should know what's going on. Maybe this Instagram post is just about his contract,
right,
and Myles Garrett and money, and has nothing to do with the quarterback. Or maybe he is in lockstep with Cam Hayward, and just the frustration of, hey, we're all signed, we're all ready to go, we're all going to be there the first day, we have to be there. Why can't this old dude just get in line as well and be a good teammate?
You know what? This Pelissero report puts me over the edge. I was willing to, kind of like you're doing, give the Steelers slight benefit of the doubt that they have a plan here. Now I don't think they do. And again, I'm haunted by last year, because what was last year then? Is it possible? I mean, look, nothing changes with a front office mentality. They keep doing things to short circuit their offense. I mean, they got rid of Matt Canada, who was really struggling as the offense coordinator. So they bring in Arthur Smith. Now, Arthur Smith in Atlanta drafted all these skill position players, then didn't use them. So they sign DK Metcalf for all this money. They're not going to use him. Then they have George Pickens, who got no targets after he came back from an injury. This is not going to work. This could be really messy. I'm sure they'll, because Mike Tomlin will get them playing really hard, they'll win 9 or 10 games. But I don't think that there is any path out of limbo right now in Pittsburgh.
It just feels like what you're asking me to believe is a level of incompetence that I can't give them at this moment. As bad and as frustrating as things have been on that side of the ball for them for the last couple of seasons, I just can't imagine that they're actually okay with a quarterback room that doesn't have Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders in it and has Mason Rudolph and Skylar Thompson and then these second, third-level QBs. Like, it's I can't imagine that that is actually in play for them right now. Like, it's much easier for me to assume that they know they can sign Rodgers in the next 3 weeks. Like, it's just going to happen. They're waiting for him to wake up and say, today's the day I'm going to do this. Or they, again, maybe they just want to see how the draft plays out, and if Shedeur gets in range for them, that can change their plans. But I still think that part of all of this involves the fallback option, so to speak, of Aaron Rodgers being their guy for next year.
Maybe. That sounds like a lot. But if that's the case, then how come TJ Watt and Cam Hayward don't know this?
Well, because I think Cam Hayward, at the point when he said this, which is what? I mean, we're at 3 weeks on the Cam Hayward, even more than that. So, like, then things could have been different. And we're all guessing at what TJ Watt's social media post meant. We don't know that it's about frustration with the quarterback situation. It might be. It might be 10% that kind of frustration. It might be all about his contract. We're just ascribing motive to this post, which means something, by the way, because I went back and looked, and he's not a regular Instagram poster.
Oh, really? Okay.
Like, they're very spread out. There seems to be rapid fire. Like, he just had a kid, so there's a couple of posts about the baby and his wife, but those are the first ones in months. And then there's a couple around the holidays, and there's a couple around Thanksgiving. So, like, it's not like he's not a guy who's living on social media just posting. Like, so if he's posting something, it means something. So that means something, but we don't know exactly what it means.
Any TikTok dances on there?
I didn't see anything like that.
Any Dochi challenge, anxiety challenge dances?
No, unfortunately not.
That's a shame. So, yeah, connect these dots. Lewis Riddick, ESPN, comes out and says, I want Shedeur to fall past number three, to go to a better team.
Yeah.
So he said it would be better for Shedeur Sanders if he did not go to Tennessee, Cleveland, or New York, the first three
teams. Agreed.
Lewis Riddick, I would imagine, is pretty connected to the Steelers. Played at University of Pittsburgh. I think maybe he was kind of saying, listen, I know Deion. Deion is probably rooting for Shedeur to go to Pittsburgh. If he's not going to be the number one pick, he might as well go to a team that can win. So maybe there is a sort of the powers behind the scenes want Shedeur in Pittsburgh. Maybe that will be the solution. And maybe Shedeur sits there for a year with Rodgers, maybe he doesn't. But again, I'm very dubious that this is all going to come together for the Steelers.
See, it's funny. I thought the Lewis Riddick comment was coming from Deion.
Right, Deion saying, steer me to Pittsburgh.
Well, I don't know about steer me to Pittsburgh. It felt more like a spin on Shedeur just naturally falling out of that top three. And then, so on the backside you go, you know what, though? This actually makes sense for Shedeur that he went 12 to so-and-so because it's a better spot. It was never going to go to the Titans. The Browns are a disaster. The Giants have been useless for a decade. You know, he dodged a bullet by falling out of the top three.
So you're saying that was spin by Dion through
and Doc Rivers, yeah, all together.
You know, because I actually floated that theory to EJ the other day that this was because it's kind of like pretending, oh, I didn't, you know, I don't like Allison anyway. Maybe
yeah,
it happened to me.
That's exactly
in fifth
how
grade.
It felt to me.
Like in fifth grade when I pretended that I didn't like Allison Turner. And then, of course, because I knew she didn't like me. I've done that a lot in my life. EJ, do you buy that theory? That Dion is knows he's going to fall and this is a rationalization?
I definitely could see that because I think you think about Deion Sanders, you think about the Sanders family. What is most important? Being the best, being number one, winning, most money.
Mm.
Like the idea that he wouldn't want Shador to be number one or top three or one of the most high profile players in this draft in terms of ranking, I just could never accept for Deion Sanders. Maybe other people, I can't accept it for him. So I don't think there's any way he could look at this and say, you know what, going to 21 in the draft is actually good. And in fact, he may go 21 and not even start for a year, but that's really great for Shador. Trust me, guys, I don't buy that.
But what about the fact that he originally took Shador to Jackson State, which is not a big-time program? So it wasn't important to get Shador to a D1 school in the beginning. And then Colorado wasn't a big program either. It's not like he steered Shador to Alabama or Texas.
But you know what the difference is of playing Jackson State compared to if he went to a Texas A&M or SMU?
Well, I think I know what you're going to say, yeah.
He plays week one. He's starting. Oh, he's putting up numbers.
Yeah.
And then Deion brings the celebrity and stuff. So he's still a star, even though he's at an HBCU. See, he can still point to, look at our record. Look at the stats he's putting up. He's first in the SWAC in this, first in the SWAC in that. If he goes to SMU or one of these Texas schools and he's the third string quarterback, which is what would have happened, then he is on the bench. He's basically anonymous. And that is not anything about Deion Sanders. Nothing about him is anonymous, okay?
I don't think that's the whole story, though. I think it's also because Deion had to coach him. So it had to be a situation where Deion was the head. That's one of the concerns I've heard about Shador. He's never had another coach at any level other than Deion. He's never taken head coaching from another person. So that's going to be a whole new situation for him.
Wait, was Deion his high school coach too?
Yes, I think he was.
I don't remember that.
That's what someone told me. And even if he wasn't his high school coach, he was.
Right. He was. Imagine being a high school coach and trying to.
Maybe he wasn't. I'll double check that. But basically, Shador has been tied at the hip with Deion as a coach. So I think there's some questions. I mean, I think the Shador character stuff is probably overplayed.
He was offensive coordinator.
He was the OC in high school. Yeah.
He was the Shador coordinator.
And he was definitely his youth coach. And I think now Shador probably played on some 7-on-7 teams that weren't coached by Deion, but I don't know if that's the case. By the way, talking about 7-on-7 coming up, do you know Travis Hunter used to get paid to fly around the country and play 7-on-7 as a high schooler? He was the greatest 7-on-7 player of all time. We're going to get into where he's going to go in the draft later in the show. First, we have to fix this chair situation. It's a disaster here at Infinity Sports Radio Network. Andrew Bogish, co-hosting for Maggie. Maggie will not tell half the staff where she is. There's a lot to figure out here. We want to hear your thoughts on the Steelers. Do the Steelers know what they're doing at quarterback? Are they going to sign Aaron Rodgers, then draft Shador? Are they waiting till after the draft to sign Aaron Rodgers? Is it possible they're just flying by the seat of their pants as some of their defensive players are now opining? I think that that's probably the case. I don't think the Steelers know what they're doing offensively, and I have a lot of recent evidence to support that. I want to hear from you, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Do the Pittsburgh Steelers know what they're doing? All right, coming up, we have some big, big NFL draft news that is going to shake up the top of the first round and might affect your team, Andrew Bogish. Maybe we'll get you in a better mood despite Chairgate 2025. That's next, Maggie and Perloff Show. Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff Show. Our tagline for today is Maggie and Perloff Show, working out the kinks. That's some chair issues, some sound issues in the first segment. Maggie's on vacation. Andrew Bogish is filling in today. And I think we got back on track, a little Pittsburgh Steelers debate. Are the Steelers floundering at quarterback because they're waiting on Aaron Rodgers, apparently, and they may or may not draft a quarterback? Feels kind of like a new version of last year. Last year, when they ended up with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. Start Justin Fields. He plays fine. They bench him for Russell Wilson, and then Russell Wilson plays well, flames out at the end of last season. They're both gone. I just don't think this team knows what it's doing on offense, folks.
Yeah, I get it, and they're to blame for that because I haven't thought they've known what they're doing on offense for the last handful of seasons. Yep. So I understand why you land there. It's just it's hard for me to think that they're okay with beginning their offseason work as Mason Rudolph really truly being by default their starting quarterback. Like I just it's hard for me to think that they don't have a guarantee from Aaron Rodgers that he's going to sign.
Yeah, you're probably right. I mean, they'll be 500 with Mason Rudolph.
Will they?
Yeah, oh, definitely. I looked at his stats the other day. I think he has a winning record as a Pittsburgh starter. He's not a bad quarterback, by the way. He's a high-end backup.
Sure. He can. You want to label him as a backup, high-end, whatever. That's fine. Are they 9-8 with Mason Rudolph?
Absolutely. They are 8-4-1 with Mason Rudolph as a starter.
Okay.
I mean, if you watch the Steelers play, they win a bunch of games 19-13.
Sure, but that doesn't get them far when it matters most. So they can sign up for Mason Rudolph at 9-8 and a first-round playoff exit if they sneak in, fine. But Aaron Rodgers, because I'm going to be a sucker again like the last 2 years with the Jets. Like,
me too.
Aaron Rodgers, still in my mind, gives them a better chance of reaching that top tier of their division, let alone the entire AFC.
Okay. A lot of this conversation depends on Shador falling out of the top three. That means the Titans take Cam Ward. We think that's done at number one. Number two, Cleveland, still slightly linked to Shador Sanders.
Yeah.
But it seems like they're probably going to go Travis Hunter. That brings us to number three. Bogues, you're a lifelong New York Giants fan. There was good news yesterday about Penn State edge Abdul Carter.
Yeah, I mean, good news from Abdul Carter's camp, so I don't know how much we can fully trust this. Maybe we'll get reports today to the contrary if Drew Rosenhaus was blowing smoke yesterday saying that Carter, who was back in Indianapolis for scouting combine medical rechecks. We know that. We now know he's in Jersey meeting with the Giants. We know he was in Indy. What we don't know for sure is what the recheck showed. Drew Rosenhaus said it showed the stress fracture in his foot is healing on its own, as expected, on the correct timeline. Surgery's not needed, and they say that his foot should be a non-factor in your draft decisions of Abdul Carter.
So are you happy as a Giants fan passing on a quarterback and taking, I mean, a superstar on defense?
So I am infatuated with him.
With Abdul Carter.
With Abdul Carter. Yep. Slightly more so than Travis Hunter. I don't know why. I don't know what it is with me and Travis Hunter. It's not a football thing. It's not a personal thing. I just am not like head over heels in love. Because I guess I still am struggling to see him able... I don't think he can do what he wants to do in the NFL. I just don't know that it's possible to play every snap of the entire game, play it well with the impact. So I just have this slight hesitation on Travis Hunter, not on Abdul Carter.
Okay.
The problem for the Giants is twofold. They need a quarterback, as we've discussed a lot, but they also already have two versions of Abdul Carter in Brian Burns and Kayvon Thibodeau. So I don't know what... I guess you can... If you have a third guy now... Mm-hmm. You have a vaunted, ridiculously athletic, varied pass rush, or you have one too many guys.
Well, how did you win Super Bowls in 07 and 2011?
Yeah, so who's the Justin Tuck that's going to like slot inside on these NASCAR packages? Like, which I don't know which one of those guys can put his hand in the dirt and move to the middle of the defensive line, which is what they kind of did in those situations.
But no, in the first one, you need three. You had Osi and Strahan. And who was the third?
There was Justin Tuck was in there. Then JPP was involved on the
Kiwanuka. They had Kiwanuka. So they had traditional pass rushers.
Right. And one guy would play inside in those scenarios. Like that's how they got the third guy in the mix.
So a lot of rotation. It's a good point. I would assume Kayvon Thibodeau is on his way out at a certain point.
I mean, the Giants also just, they need good players. They just need good players. Even if it's a little redundant, they just need good players. And Abdul Carter wrecking a game with one arm is, I mean, as good
of a high-level game.
Right, as a compliment as you can give a guy. So, like, even if, you're right, even if you draft him and that makes Kayvon Thibodeau expendable, then maybe Kayvon Thibodeau turns into something else that helps your roster.
Yep, could be. So... I'm going to do player comps later in the show. Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network, the ultimate expert, did a series of player comps that I found very interesting. Love player comps for draft. That's all I really need to hear. Abdul Carter, want to guess who Jeremiah had for him? Big star.
A current player?
Yes, he actually technically is still a current player, I believe. Ooh. Actually, I don't even know. Where did he sign? Is he signed somewhere?
So it's not a deep cut, and it's not Miles Garrett or somebody like that. Is he Von Miller, something like that?
Bingo.
All right.
So here's my question. Number three, you have Von Miller sitting there. Let's say he turns into Von Miller, which is a Hall of Famer. Or you have Shedeur Sanders, who is the next Kirk Cousins. Good quarterback, not Hall of Famer. Would you take the Kirk Cousins if you're the Giants or the Von Miller?
Yeah, this is the whatever it is, the million-dollar question. And I spend way too much time with the Giant fan trying to figure this out. And I do keep landing on Shedeur is just not good enough to take Abdul Carter over. Does that make sense?
Like,
Shedeur's his limitations, to use a very broad stroke, allow the Giants not to take him. But again, I still think part of that is me and them. I think the Giants, the original plan, the hope was that with their first pick of the second round, which is, like, I think the second pick of the second round, that they'd have their pick of, like, the Jackson Darts of the world. So they could go Hunter or Carter at three.
Yeah.
And then with their next pick, get their quarterback. That's not possible anymore, it seems. So I think that has changed the...
Wait, how do you know it's not possible, though? Maybe
I mean, hype. Everything seems to be trending towards the back of the first round and having another... I think Jackson Dart's going to go in the first round.
Yeah. What about Tyler Shuck? Louisville quarterbacks.
I know.
25 years old, tall guy.
I know. But I don't mind that he's 25. I just mind that I didn't know who he was until like 3 weeks ago.
I kind of feel like if you get a guy at the top of the second round, you might be getting Drew Lock 2.0. Potential that often doesn't work out. All right. Manny's our other resident Giants fan. I feel like you're so beat down, you almost don't even care. But would you rather have the good quarterback or the great pass rusher?
I mean, I see Bogus's point. I mean, it might be one too many cooks in the kitchen. But, I mean, at this point, I think I'm leaning towards Abdul Carter over grabbing a quarterback at this point. I mean, Cam Ward's the guy, obviously. He's obviously not going to be on the board. So, I mean, I think the Giants might be in a position where it's going to be best available, and then they look to fill in that quarterback slot in the second round, early on in the second round. I mean, there's also obviously that possibility that they trade back in the first round. Yeah. I wouldn't really hate that, but I really don't want to see next year's first round pick though.
Albert Breer wrote about something very interesting. What if they trade a third round pick to go from 3 to 2 to get Travis Hunter?
This year?
This year. Trade up with Cleveland. Because Cleveland, I don't know why Cleveland would do that exactly, but Cleveland seems like they would take either Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter, where the Giants need-wise are more on Travis Hunter.
Yeah, I mean, if the Browns want Shedeur, why not make that trade? Move back to 3, get the extra asset, and you'll still get your guy.
Are you psyched if you're a Giants fan to give up a little to get Travis over Abdul Carter?
Yeah, I'm fine with that, because again, like, the bigger thing is, like, they're just so devoid of fun, talented players.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, let's just get people on the roster.
That's not
that are
a
good
Super Bowl plan. We need some fun, talented players.
It's not a plan to have good players.
No, I think you honestly, this is a Mike Lombardi thing. You have to plan a whole team, a Super Bowl team. Just don't bring in a guy like, we need a fun player because we're bad.
Well, no, dynamic, elite player, not like fun. Hey, I mean, will be fun to watch, but I mean, he's also if. He becomes what he could become, and he is a stud wide receiver and a stud defensive back at the same time. That helps you win games, games.
Giants already have that really fun guy in the locker room.
Green beans.
Jameis.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, they have a dynamic player, Malik Nabers, and what did that get them? Nothing.
I think they need more of those guys. Like, the way I look at it, in some ways I look at it as a basketball team too, where you have to, like, improve the athletic profile of your team.
Yeah.
Like, they just don't have enough speed, enough strength, enough. They don't just got dudes. Like, they have a lot of very, you know, average guys for NFL players. And whether it's Carter or Hunter, you're now adding an elite athletic profile guy onto your roster, and that makes everyone else better.
They don't have guys the other team has to plan for.
That all sounds good and idealistic, but counterpoint, who gets to the Super Bowl every year? Patrick Mahomes. You need the quarterback.
Yeah, but that's not. No matter what Lewis Riddick says, that's not in this draft.
Yeah, well, Cam Ward could be.
Okay, but Cam Ward also is just not in play for the Giants.
You don't think the Giants, right, you don't think they called Tennessee and said, we'll give you something to move up?
Oh, yeah, I hope not, because they think Cam Ward's Patrick Mahomes. They just think he's the best quarterback by a good distance in this draft. But that trade's not happening, so he's not even a consideration for the Giants anymore.
No, you're absolutely right. Okay. I think we need some more uplifting topics. We've done the Pittsburgh not having a quarterback.
You sound like Maggie right now. Normally we'd be booing her.
Yeah, and we did the Giants having no athletes on their team. Let's talk about some good teams. Gordon Damer's here with updates. Gordon, get us back on a positive trajectory.
All right. Well, we'll tell you first off, this Sports Flash is sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
There you go.
Your small business keeps you on the go. Progressive Commercial Insurance keeps your policy within reach with their easy-to-use mobile app. Who doesn't love that? Learn more at ProgressiveCommercial.com.
Hello.
Yeah, Justin Rose has never won the Masters. But you know what? He's really good at leading the Masters. This is the fifth time that he's had the lead after the first round. He put up a 7-under 65 yesterday. So he's got a 3-shot lead. It's the eighth time he has had a lead at any point. Three others are 3 back, including the defending champion, Scottie Scheffler.
It definitely wasn't easy out there. The greens were starting to firm up. It's definitely going to be a firm Masters this year. And yeah, I thought I was playing pretty tough out there. Did a good job of managing my way around the course. Like you said, kept the card clean with no bogeys. And that making no bogeys around here, you're always going to have a pretty good score.
Bryson DeChambeau, good leaderboard. He's at 3-under, so 4 shots off the lead. And how about Fred Couples, one for the old guys, a 1-under 71. I don't mean to look at you, Andrew. I was just looking at both of you at the same time.
No, I said the old guys. I'm so psyched that Fred Couples is doing well. I celebrate that guy more than anyone.
Yes, at 65, he's the second oldest golfer to shoot under par at Augusta. So a good opening round for him. Rory McIlroy looked like he was in really good shape. On the back nine, he was at 4-under through 14, and then disaster, a double bogey at 15, another double bogey at 17. So he is at even par, tied for 27th.
Just go back to Couples for a second. If you're a regular PGA Tour player that qualifies for the Masters, you know, and you're in your athletic prime, 28 to 35, whatever it may be, and you shoot a 77 at Augusta yesterday, and Freddie at 65 plays in the red, how drunk are you getting last night? Or how, like, are you crying yourself to sleep for how many hours?
Well, are we going to get to our friend Nick Dunlap at some point?
We will. Not here, but at some point.
Okay, yeah. So not the worst round of all time, but a bad round, and you see Freddie do this. But you know that he's not going to, he's done this a lot of times.
Yeah,
he has a nice opening round. It doesn't last.
Right. And then, he'll probably make the cut based on how good yesterday was. And that's an accomplishment all to itself at 65, but this is the nature of the game and the nature of that course in particular. But as you're looking around, like, you can talk yourself into, okay, I'm not Justin Rose, I'm not Scottie Scheffler, I'm not Colin Morikawa, whoever. But you're like, and then you see the 65-year-old Fred Couples playing under par. You go, you're not rethinking your entire career, but it can't be a good Thursday night.
My favorite old guy tournament ever was, remember Tom Watson came in second at the Open Championship?
Yeah.
59, right? That was amazing. And I have a theory, because the fairways are so wide at some of those courses for the British Open, that I could play well there, actually.
Oh, you're wrong.
And many golfers have told me I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
No, so will we.
But some of those courses do lend themselves to old guys, because you know, with the wind howling and stuff, you can't just get up to the tee and just bomb away like the young guys. So we'll see. I mean, I would love, Phil won at 50. You know, it happens.
I think it's more likely, if I had to place a little wager on it, that the wheels just completely fall off.
I mean,
I don't want to.
I don't think you'll get good odds on that wager, because I think everyone thinks that.
Speaking of wagers, how are yours going for the Masters, Pearl?
So I came in to the Masters.
Any pennies on Justin Rose?
Nope. I sprinkled, Gordon, I sprinkled a little money on about 12 different guys, and it's amazing. I just missed everybody on the leaderboard.
Pearl called me last night. He was like, oh, yeah. I was like, you see the master? Man, you got any money on Scheffler? He's like, nope. I'm like, what about this guy? Nope. I'm like, did you get anybody? Nope.
I have a little.
You didn't have to field.
I had some Oberg, and he looks really good. I had some odds. Like, Wyndham Clark, man, I was going to get rich on him. And, man, did he not show up yesterday.
And usually, if you're not in the top 10 after the first day, you can forget about it.
Yeah, it's not looking good. I was going to buy breakfast for everybody. We're going to need some miracles, boys. We're going to need Brian Harmon to get really, really hot today.
Let's go, Brian Harmon.
Wasn't it Butch yesterday? Didn't you call him Butch yesterday?
Oh, Butch. Who's Butch Harmon again? He's the
he's definitely swing a coach.
He's a swing coach.
Yes.
Well, look,
he's news. Brian's dad.
Yeah,
is he really?
News.
No.
I believe you too.
I know.
You know, Butch Harmon has worked on my swing before. I'm not lying. He came to the Dan Patrick Show and fixed all our swing in like 30 seconds.
I think Butch Harmon's from the area.
Wait, it might be the other. Who's the other swing instructor? Who's Tiger's guy?
Hank Haney.
Hank Haney fixed my swing, not Butch Harmon. I'm sorry. And honestly, I'm terrible at golf. Spent 5 minutes with me, and I drove the ball 250 yards like it was nothing.
And look at that. He did all that, and you still didn't remember who he was.
It all went out of my head in 30 seconds. I mean, because you have to, golf is takes some practice.
Right.
Can't just do it once.
Sure, no.
Yeah, if I had known his name, that probably would have been better.
Probably. Couldn't have hurt. Jordan Spieth is the last wire-to-wire winner, 2015. So if you're looking for somebody to pull off a comeback today, maybe that's what you're looking for.
Jordan Spieth?
Jordan Spieth, yeah. Well, he was the last wire-to-wire winner, so.
Because I don't have any money on him either. Is he even in the field?
He avoided the sprinkle as well, yeah, unfortunately. NBA last night, T-Wolves, Grizzlies battling to avoid the play-in tournament. They faced off last night. Not too much of a contest, though.
From outside the restricted area, still inside the paint. Two to shoot. Randall's got a fade in the corner, and the three ball, no. Slam follow, Edwards! Up with the right hand and down hard!
Alan Horton, the call on the Timberwolves radio network. T-Wolves beat the Grizzlies 141-125. Ja Morant, 36, unveiling a new celebration. Yeah. You might remember he was fined, I think it was $75,000 for the imaginary mock gun. Last night he started a new one, tossing an imaginary grenade, and said, "That's my celebration now until someone else has a problem with it."
Yeah,
be a man. What is going on here? So has he learned nothing?
Nothing.
Clearly.
Is he just a jerk? Is that what's going on with Ja Morant?
Was it Barkley or Shaq? One of those guys on TNT said last night, the big winner is Taylor Jenkins, no longer having to deal with that crap.
They got a police presence? Are you kidding me?
I mean, we all want to like Ja Morant. He's a fantastic player. Why is he being defiant here?
He's an idiot and a fool.
Yeah, I don't know. I think your Grayson Allen theory is out the window now. He knows what he's doing. He's choosing to do it, and he's welcoming the blowback.
Well, Ja Morant made a comment about how, you know, when he got the fine for the grenade, he said, well, everyone sees what's happening. As if, like, because I've seen it online, and he's a very online person. There are people who feel like he's being singled out for these celebrations, that other people do celebrations and don't get fined, don't have issues, and that the NBA is making an example of him.
Well, he's being singled out because he's doing a gun celebration and they're getting in trouble for being stupid with guns.
Exactly. Like
that's why he's getting singled out, because he singled himself out.
Right, singled out is not the right word. But in the NFL, they catch everybody. They don't care who you are. If you do any kind of rifle or shotgun or machine
wipe
gun,
your nose.
Flag immediately.
Yeah, I've seen online, again, he's a very online person, people saying, well, Mikal Bridges does his three celly that looks like a gun. Why does Ja can't do a gun? That's out there, and that's where the internet sucks, because you will always find sycophants who will just, like, buy anything. So there are Ja Morant defenders out there, and I know some, who think that the NBA's been too harsh on him on these celebrations and that they should lighten up. So he's reading that saying, see, everyone knows I'm not doing anything that bad, so I'm going to throw some more grenades into the crowd. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, how does he say they ban the grenade? What's his next move after that? Is he going to plant a bomb? Like, what's the next violent
Claymore
thing
he's got? He did say, I cut the quote off there, but he did say that if anyone has a problem with it, he will find another one.
Yeah.
So he's constantly working on material.
Hard to root for him, even though his game is easy to root for. So we'll see where that goes. Anything else, Gordon?
Pacers wrap up the top four seed. They beat the Cavaliers 114-112.
All right. The Pacers. We're going to be hearing from them soon as we get closer to the NBA playoff picture. We'll get into that later. Thanks, Gordon. All right, coming up, I promised them. I don't think anyone gets as excited about them. Maybe the audience. NFL player comps. Bring them in. Let's go. I want as many as you can think of. Anybody here has got a good one?
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I got some really good draft comps. Basically, I don't want to hear about the 40. I don't want to hear any scouting report. Just tell me what NFL player he looks like. That's next, Maggie and Perloff Show.
Yeah. Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. for millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Looking to improve your diet in the new year? Try seeing a personal dietitian with Nourish. Nourish has hundreds of dietitians who specialize in a variety of health concerns, including weight loss, gut health, and more. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your personal dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
No one person happy right now.
Who's that?
Taylor Jenkins ain't got to deal with this crap. He's going to get another job that he deserves. I'm like, I don't have to deal with this immature stuff.
You would.
Well, he has a history that maybe he shouldn't be doing.
Yeah, maybe just
leave the celebrations with people might die alone.
Wow.
That seems easy.
Inside the NBA guys talking about Ja Morant's new grenade celebration. I don't get it. If anyone does understand what he's going on here, wants to defend him, I'd be surprised, but give us a call. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. I don't think anyone in this room has a problem with celebrating a three. It's just Ja Morant because he was caught on camera twice with a gun.
Right.
And then he was recently talked to about his gun celebration by Leak. He's just being defiant now, which I understand, but this is not the area I think you want to go into as an NBA star.
And I don't think it's singling him out or being unfair to be like, hey, dude, you can do infinity celebrations minus ones involving guns.
Yeah.
Because you got yourself in significant trouble with guns. I don't think that's being unfair in any way. But I mean, if the league wanted to just say, hey, no celebrations that are even remotely violent, what are we getting rid of? Like even a bow and arrow is violent. I mean, you're not shooting a bow and arrow at somebody to tickle them. So you'd cut off a lot of.
What was that?
I'm sorry?
You said you don't throw a bow and arrow to tickle somebody?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you're going to injure them with the arrow from your bow that you're shooting after your three-pointer.
Is that how you used to gather your food back in...
That's an old joke.
1990?
Because Manny's 11.
So when I came up, the mean streets of Lower Marion, Pennsylvania...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Look at
bow
and
arrow.
Yeah. I never hit a three, and B...
did they have a three-point line back then?
Yes, they did, but we didn't celebrate.
Pistol Pete.
We didn't really celebrate much. EJ, you were an outside sniper. Did you have a celebration for when you hit a three growing up in New York City?
Nothing signature. Just throw up the three.
Just throw up a three?
Just throw up a three,
yeah. Bugs, did you celebrate?
I was shocked. I fainted when they went in. What are you talking about? Yeah. I'm always impressed that guys remember to do anything because... if I did anything good on the field, it was bewilderment. I didn't have the mind frame to go, oh, remember to do this. I was like, how'd that go in? So that's a hit?
My favorite thing to do is if I get lucky enough to hit a game winner in a pickup game, walk off like Larry Bird and pretend like this is something I do all the time. No big deal. I am a, and I know EJ doesn't like this, I'm an act like you've been there before. Hand the ball to the official, maybe shake someone's hand and walk off. Just pretend like scoring a touchdown, no big deal. I don't think the youth of America like my style.
Yeah, no, it's lame. I mean, like, you know, act like you've been there before. Like,
Barry Sanders and Calvin Johnson are lame. Those guys are the coolest ever.
They weren't lame when they were playing. But like the guys now, we want excitement. We don't want no fun league at the pickup.
No.
At the Brooklyn pickup.
But I like guys, everybody celebrates now, so you'd be contrarian by not celebrating. Get it?
It's kind of boring.
I like how I wasn't asked how I celebrated my three-pointers.
How is that?
I'm a Mexican who went to public school. I didn't play on the basketball team.
What about soccer? I'm sure you played a lot of soccer.
Did not play soccer. That was a racist question.
Really? That's where you're going?
You love soccer. You didn't play?
I did not play organized soccer, no.
You talk about soccer all the time.
I talk about basketball. I talk about hockey from here and there. I don't know how to ice skate.
You played baseball.
I played
organized
baseball.
Or you kept score for a baseball team.
Before I did that.
Okay.
I played organized baseball. And whenever I hit a single, everybody knew about it.
Oh my God.
I'm so bad at baseball that I remember a good foul ball I hit one time.
I believe that.
Remember, I was shocked, Manny, when I found out you didn't play baseball and that you just kept score? For some reason, because you look athletic compared to the rest of us.
Well, yes. Number one, yes, I am probably the most athletic one of the five of us on this show.
Well, EJ's dealing with an injury, so that's not fair.
That happened like 2 years ago. Yeah, get over that.
Would you guess, if you looked at all of us right now, Manny could probably be one of the better athletes on this crew? Maggie's a pretty good athlete.
I was going to say, Maggie was a pretty good high school tennis player,
yeah.
And she's in good shape still from her yelling treadmill videos. We know that.
Oh, yeah.
So I would go... I don't know. I think me, Manny, and Maggie have a leg up on one-legged EJ, and you continue to fall apart when you do stuff.
Well, yeah, but I mean, the question, growing up, who was the best athlete?
Oh.
Yeah.
Growing up, probably Maggie, and then EJ.
Okay. No way.
Two-time Little League champion.
I was
buddy.
A YMVP about 1,000 times. I was
6'4". YMVP?
Yeah, I was like 6'4 when I was 11 years old. I would dominate.
I got to find the VHS tape of me swinging a bat.
Yeah. All right.
There's video of me taking jump shots and shooting well. I can shoot.
You like that VHS, though? Remember that blast from the past?
All right. We got a call here from Chris in Hampton, Virginia. We're trying to figure out what's going on with John Morant. Can anyone defend him? All right, Chris, what do you think about John Morant?
Hey, what's up, bro?
What's up, dude?
Hey, man. Look, Bogus was right. He was right on top of it, but he didn't say it. Look, if they don't want it, then you have to, and I know there's a Players Association and all this kind of stuff, but it either is allowed or it is not allowed. And if you don't want it, then you have to get it out.
Right.
Out of the NBA. No, we are not going to tolerate this.
So why do you think he does it, Chris?
Well, because of the Players Association, and I know it's tough, but there have to be some rules and standards in life. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. Thanks for the call. Yes, it's just such an odd situation because I got to tell you, I've watched many John Morant interviews, and he said that he had turned a corner on some personal issues. It seems so obvious. Don't do a violent celebration
right.
for this guy.
Or even a gun one. If you want to machete somebody imaginary, go for it. But don't throw the guns out there.
You can say that it's a lightsaber.
You're the gun guy.
The lightsaber celebration?
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be a machete in his head, but he can just tell the press that everybody has a lightsaber.
You know, Jackson Dart, Ole Miss quarterback, massive Star Wars fan. I think he does do a lightsaber celebration. All right, we're going to get into the Masters next. Has anyone here been to Augusta? We'll find out. Maggie and Perloff Show.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
One night, one goal. Stop suicide. On June 21st, New York City will host the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention's milestone 30th Out of the Darkness Overnight Walk. Over the last 20 years, people have described the overnight as one of the most powerful experiences of their lives. Now is the perfect time to join us as people from all over the country come together to stop suicide. Walk over 16 miles from dusk till dawn to raise much-needed funds for this important cause. You'll form lasting friendships, experience healing and love, and bring hope to those affected by suicide. Be a part of this life-changing event. The American Foundation for Suicide Prevention's Out of the Darkness Overnight Walk. June 21st. Register now at theovernight.org or call 888-THE-OVERNIGHT. That's 888-843-6837.